For those listening to KSBN Money Talk Radio who might be interested in buying physical precious metals for less than what I can pay for them, stay tuned. I have a way you can support this show and secure what I believe is the best price for precious metals on the existing market. In our first commercial break, I will explain this in more detail. And now, let's get on with Reclaiming the Republic. Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This is G.R. Mobley. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. If you go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, you can download our podcast and support documents and links. This is an educational, grassroots program designed to restore the Republic and placing the general government, or what many refer to as the federal government, back into the constitutional framework and scope of the Constitution. My thanks to those who have been pulling the trigger on purchasing physical silver and gold, and even though it may not make and garner a lot of money for supporting the show, but I know you're saving a lot and you're actually getting a nice little gift back. But again, I want to thank you listeners who are doing this, and it does make an impact. So anyway, let me move on. Our toll-free number for you to call in is 844-320-4299. If you cannot listen to this entire show today, this show is rebroadcasted on Saturdays at 1 p.m. And many parts of these shows cross-reference each other, and I do that quite often. I may talk about Platonism, and if you don't understand Platonism, I had a couple of shows that talked about that. Consequently, to stay abreast with some of the stuff that I talk about, you'll need to listen to all of these shows because I don't necessarily have the time to repeat every show in a given show. So that way, as you listen to all of these podcasts, you will start to garner what Republic Review is and how we together can reclaim the Republic. Do not forget that these podcasts are available at reclaimingtherepublic.org so that you can stay informed. Local announcements. The Republican Coffee Club meets every Friday at 7 in the morning. And this Friday, they have Chandra Fox, who's the Deputy Director of Spokane County Emergency Management. What if an emergency happened? What's going to happen? Well, she can answer that question for you, if you have that question. In addition, on the 11th, they have Larry Haskell, the prosecuting attorney, that will be there. And on the 18th, Representative Matt Shea and Bob McCaslin will be doing a session debrief or review, kind of like a hot wash for those with the military mind. And Jeremy Hood, later on, after they do their hot wash, will be speaking on cryptocurrencies. So those who are, you know, invested in Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, he's going to be talking a little bit about that. So you may want to make this one. Anyway, the admission is $5, and it costs you $1 to get a donut, so it's a total of $6 for meeting great people and having a very informative morning for your Friday, starting your Friday off. Northwest Grass Movie Night, or Grassroots Movie Night, is August 9th, and the executive summary will be presented by yours truly, and it begins at 5:30 at Darcy's Restaurant. And that is at 10502 East Sprague out in Spokane Valley. And this will be, and all of these events are really must attend events. And this is an organization that you really should be supporting, just like this show. And if, because the flowers are still there, they're still growing strong, if you have a special occasion between now and fall that you'd like to make that romantic impression, nothing says it better than a hand of hand-picked bouquet flowers that you picked from the Sunnyvale Flower Farm in Suncrest. And the details are on my website, reclaimingtherepublic.org. So you'll notice that sometimes when I get really frustrated and excited or become very passionate, that sometimes I, you know, have to search for words because for a while, for 20 years in the Marine Corps, for at least my first 10 years, it was a very natural, I adapted a very natural vernacular of using expletives because that's how you were taught and that's how they spoke. And it wasn't until Commandant Alfred Gray took over in 1987, and basically he drew the line and says, I do not want any expletives or no cussing or swearing in my presence. And he tried to, you know, raise the standard. And from that point forward, and I, as a Christian and developing myself, I kind of realized I needed to get away from that. So sometimes when you hear me get passionate, just be thankful that you don't hear a word, you'll hear a little or a gasp. And then I'll come up with a different word. But ever since then, when I committed to not using that kind of vernacular or speech, I've been successful in not having to dip back into that old crusty Marine Corps speech. So anyway, I just wanted to give you some insights. And sometimes when I get passionate and so forth, sometimes I just want to let something fly, but I have to use a little bit of self-control. If you haven't noticed, as a matter of fact, the voter turnout has been dismal, and we will get into that, you know, a little bit later in this hour. But I can't tell you how disappointing in looking at the voter turnout. I've been telling you, and as a matter of fact, I am right, because if you look at how little, I mean, we didn't even get 20%. I don't think we got near whatever 1/6 of the voter turnout is. That's what we got for this primary. And because of that, I believe, I have to check the numbers, and I'll do that later on in this hour. I believe we lost a great candidate that got bumped out by an inserted progressive to protect a progressive seat in a very progressive district. And I truly believe that had the voter turnout actually mustered and people mailed in their ballots, it would have been much better. But we'll get through the numbers and all of that, like I said, a little later. There's another thing that I wanted to kind of point out, because it's floating out there. And Adam Carolla had spoke to Congress just recently, and he started talking about gravity and how, and I'm just going to give you a little, you know, cut of what he was talking about. He basically says it's a known fact that when you go out into space and you get into a gravity-less situation, you start losing muscle, bone mass, and everything else, and your body can't develop itself because your body no longer has any resistance. And he's saying that basically, and this is a brilliant correlation that I love that he's done here, is what we have done with the children today and the millennials, because you've protected them so much, because they haven't had to face adversity and resistance, they have not been able to develop themselves where they need a safe code. They, you know, words hurt them. I've said this before, whatever happened to, you know, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words would never hurt me. I really don't care what you say. You know, it's what you do that really matters to me. And so I think he really hit the nail on the head here and drove that home and kind of sealed the coffin, because this is the results of what happens when you take a passive act of parenting and try to remove all resistance, you know, in front of your children, all the obstacles in front of your children and so forth, so that they basically don't know how to deal with problems. We actually have a generation now that doesn't know how to deal with conflict, that doesn't understand resistance and or these concepts of having to fight and having to work out, you know, real problems and articulating their problems and convincing somebody else their position and or objectively listening to somebody else's position to say, you know what, I could be wrong. They don't have that. They need safe spaces. And you got to watch this video. I'm going to put a link to this on YouTube up. It's a 34-minute video, if I remember correctly, but it is worth watching. So one of the things I like to do that I want to get into the next segment is I actually ask the sponsors. So if you have a business, one of the things I do is create symbiotic relationships. And if I really believe in your product, I'll be happy to endorse your product, especially if you've got the, you know, so far I have not found somebody that's come to me and said, hey, I do a great job at this. And so one of the things I do is if you do a long-term contract with me, then I set a little time aside and I have you come in and we kind of talk about your business. And then I, you know, ask some questions regarding my perspective of how your your business could be better? Like, what kind of government regulations could we get rid of so that you could be more productive, so that you could help develop more wealth for your employees and for the community and doing more? And so one of those actual interviews is, I've got Cameron Rippey coming into the station, and we basically talk and we'll go through his business. He'll give us some information on that, I hope, so that we can understand, you know, a little more about Cameron Rippey Homes. And, you know, one of the things we want to get into is, what are the impacts in his environment via regulations and so forth. So stay tuned. I think you're going to really love this segment. And this could be a model segment for you, business owners. So we'll be right back after this short break. Thank you. Okay, we're back, and in the studio today I have a special surprise. It is Cameron Rippey from Rippey Homes, and one of the things I try to do in giving back to those who are supporting me is I try to bring them in and help them, help differentiate them from their competitors. And there's a lot of contractors here, and Cameron Rippey from Rippey Homes is one of my plank holder supporters and sponsors. So Cameron, I know you've been in the business for a while, but why don't you tell us what's unique and how you differentiate from a lot of the other builders that are out in this area?
Sure, you bet, GR. First of all, thanks for having us on, and appreciate the opportunity for this.
No problem.
We've been in business here in the Spokane area for just over 10 years, and got into the business very much from the high-performance standpoint of building. We were fascinated by some of the concepts that were being introduced about 10 years ago, and have built upon that and had the opportunity to build many homes that are high efficiency foundation, meaning from the envelope to the mechanical systems, and have recently more specifically become a certified passive builder, certified passive house builder here in this area.
And that's a unique technology.
Yeah, it's unique from the standpoint of in other parts of the world, it's been commonly adopted as the code, and we're seeing over here in our area a more of a demand for it. People wanting not just, you know, more efficient homes, but the highest efficiency homes, and so this has been a fun process for us as we've been able to discover kind of the opportunities that exist with existing technologies to make homes as efficient as possible.
Having the pleasure of dealing with Rippey Homes in both a remodel and, you know, the building of a new home, I know that you do employ artisans, you know, very, very talented folk that, you know, have been doing this for a long time and know how to do things. And so how long have you guys had these relationships with some of these artisans that you employ?
Well, absolutely. You know, we're a family business first and foremost, and have been very fortunate to remain a family business.
Oh.
Due to that, I've started with, my brother-in-laws, who are my superintendents now, and we started together from the beginning building homes, just the three of us, and have been able to develop into more managerial roles, but they also take on the role of the very detail-oriented artisan work on our custom homes, oversee pretty much all aspects of the project. But I couldn't ask for better workmanship or better artistry, if you will, than those two exhibit.
Now, this passive house, this is on the design front, right, as well as the technology?
Correct. It's predominantly done on the design. When you hear the term passive house or passive house, it's referring to a home that's been designed and modeled to meet certain standards. It's not as simple as just making, you know, walls thicker or putting more insulation. It's the combination of everything together and making the entire structure work efficiently.
Right.
So from the design standpoint, that works beautifully. From the build standpoint, it requires an attention to detail that we hadn't seen before and fortunately have adopted. And even when we're not building a home that was designed passively, we employ those techniques even in our
in some of the standard designs. So you're actually integrating that more and more even into standard designs.
We are, yeah. And I think when you learn to do something a better way, you just do it the better way. And we've kind of adopted that.
And if I understand it correctly, it doesn't necessarily increase the cost that much.
You know, it depends. It does increase the cost just due to the envelope and windows and certain key components that go uh-huh. in. And there's always talk about the money side of it in terms of, well, what's my return? You know, how long will it take to pay that back? But at the end of the day, it's, you know, we're building structures that are just so far more comfortable and better designed than anything else that exists out there. And that's the response that we're hearing from the people that are living in these homes and their experiences with them.
So how long have you been running Rippey Homes? Or you've been in business for?
Just over a decade.
Just over 10 years. And you've probably seen a lot of changes in the landscape regarding construction and so forth. So if you don't mind, what would you consider some of the driving factors of the changes that you're having to deal with, such as regulations or the labor force and so forth? I mean, do you find that operating in the last 10 years, is it getting easier and better for you?
It's getting easier and better from the standpoint of we have more experience.
As a company,
but that just means that we've probably more adapted to those hurdles than tried to change the hurdles.
Yeah, now I know that the Hirsch ruling had a big effect on people building and being able to actually go and build on raw property. Has that impacted you, or have the ripple effects hit you on that yet?
Yeah, they have, and I think the ripple effects are still coming. People were allowed the opportunity to go and pull permits. They were kind of given a grace period where they could pull permits and still protect their right to build on their property with existing wells. But I think we'll still see in the coming years, if this decision isn't reversed or if they don't make some kind of accommodations for it, we'll see people that have a fair amount of property that's just not going to be able to be developed.
Right.
And there's enough demand out there and enough shortage of housing, available housing, where we're still feeling, you know, a big push. So we haven't quite seen everything filter well, down so that inventory hasn't been depleted yet.
Yeah, okay. So with that, I know that there's a lot of legislators that are working to try to repeal this, and this isn't where we're going to fix that. But I just wanted to make sure that in your sentiments and your perspective, that it is, you know, an impact, and it will dramatically bring down, I believe, our economy in so many different ways. Let me ask you one other question before we run out of time. If you were the king of the day, what would be the one thing that you would like to change regarding, you know, your company and so forth, if you can make any changes?
Well, I think without a doubt, you mentioned labor force. If there was something I could do to prepare or incentivize young people to get into the trades and become interested in these trades, that's probably the largest obstacle that we're facing.
So you're finding that the education system is not helping them migrate into skilled laborers and so forth. It's just video games, social engineering of those things.
Education system, the structure of the family, any number of elements are just causing kids to not have the desire to work or to get into this line of work. But we've got to have housing.
Right. And you know, as the old free market stands, with the demand, somehow either a supply comes or a new supply comes. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully we can actually start developing, I believe, the education, or I should say, getting the communities to step in, because I constantly see a lack of education in economics, our history, constitution, and learning trades and promoting trades. I mean, you hear the arts industry scream when a band gets cut, but, you know, I understand that there's a great chance of being in a band, but not being able to be successful is something different. But actually developing a trade and being able to be a productive member of society is critical. And so I completely understand the problem, and I've been talking on the show about that. Is there any kind of parting shot as, you know, what you'd like to see as far as labor? Is there a particular shortage?
Across the board.
Tile.
Everything.
Finishing.
Everything.
Concrete, all of foundations. From the foundations up, there's just a shortage in labor. Well, I appreciate you coming in, and one of the things that it requires a little bit of courage to get behind these microphones, folks, especially if you're a businessman and this is not your milieu or environment. So thank you very much, Cameron, for coming in.
Thanks, Sharon.
And I hope that we can have you back in next year. We'll be back, folks. Thank you very much. Well, it was great to have Cameron in the studio, and as I know, he's probably heading back out to his car and driving home because, you know, it's rush hour now, Spokane's rush hour. I thought I would share some insights because I've actually dealt with Rippy Holmes personally, as I said, and I have a Seinfeldism. If you do remember watching Seinfeld, and there was Conrad, or Connie, you can call him anything, and he was doing a kitchen remodel. And in our remodel process, the artisans that he had come in to do stuff from, you know, framing and so forth, and I had some custom stuff done. It was really interesting because each of them said, oh, I could do it this way, I could do it this way, I could do it. You know, there's just, they were a wealth of knowledge and skills to be able to do all sorts of different things. And I can't tell you how much I appreciated that, because I was actually able to get the most out of that remodel, and, you know, more than I actually anticipated. I was able to do some stuff because I didn't think that they would be able to do some of these angles and so forth. But anyway, it was just kind of reminded me of Seinfeld every time I was dealing with one of his specialty workers, artisans, what have you, because they would literally say, well, I could do it this way, we could do it this way, we could do it this way. And so if you remember that episode, I didn't get to the point where Jerry goes, just do it. I was very happy with the fact that I was being empowered with the ability to have my remodel done the way I really wanted it done. So it was just an awesome experience. And I will say that there's always the inconveniences when you do a remodel with, you know, having to live in a little more clutter, dirt, and so forth, because they, you know, it's a remodel. You don't want to have to spend the money for them to come and, you know, do a white glove inspection after every day, because that would just drive your cost up dramatically, especially when you're paying these artisans to push a broom and to do that kind of cleanup all the time. So anyway, those types of things you just have to, you know, suck up and go, well, we want to live in this home because we can't afford to live outside of it. So anyway, there are things to consider when you're doing it, but I couldn't have complained and I couldn't say anything bad about their entire process. They were very accommodating. And so anyway, another thing I wanted to point out that Cameron was talking about is the lack of education / labor for these trades. We have been so bogged down with social engineering and the progressive agenda in our education system that kids today coming out of school do not, and they're literally programmed to just become a good government servant. Don't worry about it. The government's going to take care of you. And they may not actually say those words, but that's exactly the direction they go down. They may have these grants and so forth, but look at these millennials and these kids coming out of school around this country. And he's having a hard time finding kids that are willing to go into apprenticeship program.
tell these kids that, I mean, plumbers make good money. Tilers can make good money, especially after you get a couple of years under your belt. It's, you know, it's the same thing as going to college, but you're actually making money while you're learning this trade. It may not be rocket science, and I would highly encourage everybody to get good degrees that are applicable in everything, whether that be, you know, math, sciences, business, and so forth. But don't go to, don't send kids to school to become directors of YouTube videos. There's, I think we have a high supply of those types of degrees and so forth out there. The last shot that I do have is the human side to Rippey Homes, understanding and talking to him over the course of the remodel and having a home built with a friend. The interesting thing is that to survive 10 years, and if you understand, there has been a couple of downturns in the building industry, you know, over those 10 years, that the fact that he's still in business is one hallmark. And secondly, I know that during the last downturn, it was really, really hard. And I know that he personally understood the importance and the magnitude of the resources that you have. You just don't want to lose these guys. So he worked his butt off making sure that there was some kind of work that, you know, he could provide these guys so that they would stay on instead of maybe going, leaving, or what have you. So it's a hallmark, again, when you say you've been in business for 10 years in an industry that had a significant downturn. That to me is a good mark of a good company. So anyway, that being said, let me move on to some more positive news. I've been kind of talking about trying to get with the Republican, constitutional, libertarian, and so forth. Well, we actually had a meeting about unifying, and it looks like we're actually going to be able to pull together a unified event, and it looks like there may be an opportunity, and I'm looking very positive at this. I'm usually the optimist in the room, so I believe that we're going to have a, I'll call it a committee or a collective organization of leadership with Spokane County, where we're going to be able to work together. And our intent is to literally help start promoting constitutional education and awareness and supporting events. Some of the events that may be coming up will be the Washington Birthday, November 11th, and the Bill of Rights Day. I believe that's December 15th. And so these future events, we want to start, you know, working together and making sure that we have something so that we can start resonating with the citizens of this area to, you know, kind of point out that, you know, you don't know that much about this. And that's basically the plan. The plan is to not let you know so that you can marginalize, so they can continue to marginalize and continue to convince you that this is a democracy, that the governments can dictate and say anything and everything they do. And the fact is, the reason we want to promote constitutional awareness is because the constitutions, both constitutions, the state and the federal government, or the U.S. Constitution, are enumerated constitutions. These are contracts. These are hard, fast, limited contracts where they've been empowered to only do certain things. State of Washington does not have the ability to tax you or create revenues from your personal income. All revenues have to be done uniformly. And so when you look at the state of Washington and its limitations, the progressives want to discard all of those things. They want to be able to own you from cradle to grave, and they want to get to a point where they basically can control the masses. And so it's communism, Platonism on steroids. And they're getting away with getting you and getting the public here in this area and throughout this nation to marginalize the Constitution. So that's why it's so important to start teaching and promoting and bringing awareness of the Constitution so that you can start learning and realizing really the states have more power and authority over the federal government. Well, over those things not delegated to the federal government, yes. Like healthcare, like energy, like education, like welfare. All of those things are not delegated to the federal government and are to remain with the states. However, the federal government's been usurping that. Same thing with justice. The federal government has no authority to create all of these national laws. That has to be amended to the Constitution to give them that authority. Those are all usurpations. Same thing with the Department of Labor, Department of Agriculture. I can go on and on, and I do go on and on, and that's the whole point in trying to bring this awareness together. But I just want to let you know that it looks like we are going to be working on a joint venture for Constitution Day. Don't know exactly when that'll be, but it'll probably be during that week. If there isn't something going on Sunday, September 17th, I will let you know when the event will be. But we're working on it and we're planning it so that if you want to commemorate the Constitution and the one shred of parchment that is guaranteeing your rights of conscious expression, speech, assembly, right to bear arms, all of those important things that the framers saw fit, and actually the Lord inspired them to ensure that those things were put into the Bill of Rights and the limitations that were put into the Constitution, then I would just ask you to make sure that you try to avail yourself coming up that week, as well as if you can't do something on September 17th, at least pick up the Constitution and read it for the first time. I'm just appalled with the fact that I, constantly run into people that say, I've never read it. And I go, what? It's only 4 pages in live print. It's in a little teeny book form. It's maybe about 20, 30 pages, but still, it's not that difficult to read. Take the time and read it and make this thing sacred again in our society as it should be. And as I've said when I started this show, I truly believe that the Constitution is scripture. And I'm not a wacko on this. Every single one of those framers that was that attended the Constitutional Convention, and all of the framers are and have stated and asserted that they were inspired by the divine hand of providence. I will give you a little more evidence of this as soon as we get back after this break. But it's really important that we hear from our sponsors because they help me do this, and I hope that you help them by supporting them, and we will be right back after this break. Thank you. Okay, so those of you that are still hanging on pins and needles, I will tell you that if you go back and you look at the first act done by Congress and the first executive order done by the President of the United States, they clearly state, and this actually is an executive order, and it was the calling for a commemoration of a day of Thanksgiving. And if you read this, what Washington said in his executive order and what Congress said, they wanted to set aside a day not to recognize the pilgrims, and the Thursday that we set aside in November for Thanksgiving isn't about the pilgrims. Go read that first executive order. It is about recognizing the divine hand of providence. This is what they're saying. So when I tell you I consider the Constitution and what these men were inspired to do, and if you look at what we've been able to do, because we were the ones, not some African nation, not some European, Asian, nowhere else in the world. We were the ones that spent time, effort, and energy and lives in trying to eradicate slavery. We were the ones that stepped up and brought in these new levels of human rights and freedoms and liberties. We are that bright beacon on the hill. And I'm telling you, just go read that and you'll understand what these men put into motion based on the inspiration from the divine hand of providence. And this is why I really do consider the Constitution of the United States scripture. And so next week, we will be airing a very interesting interview with a professor from Middle Tennessee University. His name is Dr. John R. Vile. And again, we don't necessarily agree, but I think you'll find the interview very interesting, and I think that we will have a good dialogue. I think it'll be a successful interview. I'll let you tell me, but bottom line is that, you know, we want to get into the dialogue of how do we fix these usurpations and this federal overreach and encroachment onto the states' rights that the federal government has basically usurped in creating these 12 executive departments as well as other powers, roles, and responsibilities. So anyway, I wanted to get into the current election results, as I told you before. And if you go into the, I think it's SpokaneCounty.org, current election results, it looks to me, and let me see, it is Spokane Council District 1, Council Position 2, is that right? Yeah, that's the first one that comes up, Council Position 2 in District 1. Catherine Alexander got 18%, or a little over 18%, and Kate Burke got 43%, and Tim Benn got 36%. So Tim Benn actually is going to be in the runoff. So that was a six-point spread. But I'm telling you, if you look, there were 300,000 ballots sent out, and if I remember correctly, only 50,000 came back. So that's 1/6 of the ballots that were sent out came back. How many people could have voted and sent this in the different direction? I'm telling you, you can make a difference. And you and your like-minded friends, get them engaged and get them to understand the voting has consequences. Voting will actually have a real difference in the direction of this city and this area. On the other side, which was District Number 2, Council Position 2, Tony Keepy, who was going up against Brian Biggs, the guy that ended up cheating during the debate or during this moderator's questions period on TV, there's a video out there, and I pointed this out a couple of times. I can't believe that he got 55% of the vote. So it doesn't matter the moral character of individuals anymore. I haven't heard this guy apologize for what he was clearly caught at doing, and he should be shamed. As a matter of fact, he shouldn't be in public service when you do those types of things as clearly, blatantly as he did. Anyway, they got this Andy Donau to basically run against Tony Keepy just to basically try to ensure that it wasn't a contrast between a progressive and a conservative. So now it's going to be two progressives, and Andy's probably just going to roll over. But if you ask me, I'm basically telling anybody in District 2, Council Position 2, vote out Briggs and, you know, support Andy Donau and get Biggs out, because I think we deserve better. Anywho, if you go to Council Position 3 or District 3 Position 2, Brian Burrow only got 16% of the vote. Candace Mum got 53%, and Matthew Howes got 29%. So the runoff is going to be in the general election between Mum and Howes. And so bottom line, again, we need to make sure that we get a much better turnout. I'm hoping that we can talk to Trevor Lawton into making an appearance out here. We'll see, but I'd love to see a good rally at the beginning of October so that we can get people motivated and get this base going so that people will actually take the 5 minutes to fill out their ballot and put a stamp on it, sign it, and send it off. That's all it takes, folks. That's all we really need to do, is just take the time to really vote. If not, that we're going to allow progressives another couple of years, you know, at basically being able to bring in the Detroit policies for Spokane. And if you remember, Detroit had clean water, but look, after decades of their policies, look what they have now in Flint, Michigan. Look at the destitution that has occurred from these and I don't want to say crony capitalism, but it was basically crony government because it was the Democrats in power. It's just like what happened in Louisiana. If you look at New Orleans before Katrina, millions and millions of dollars were being paid every year in the maintenance of those levees, and that money was being pocketed for the politicians and the bureaucrats. It never went into those levees, and look at what happened. Those levees broke, Louisiana flooded, and who's gone to jail for that? Maybe Mayor Nagin, but that was for other reasons. It wasn't because of the corruption that is just rampant down there. And we don't want that here. What we need to have is good moral character in our political officials and those who we elect that raise their arm to the square and basically say an oath that they will support and defend the Constitution like these folks do. And like these folks aren't supporting the Constitution by bypassing it or basically stepping over it and trying to tax or fine oil and coal by coming through here when it's clearly a violation of the Commerce Clause. You can't do those types of things, and the Constitution says so, but we're going to learn that lesson because they're in charge and they're going to basically try to prove their points and make precedents. And if they get a good progressive judge, they may be able to bypass it, but it doesn't make it right. It's a violation of the Constitution. I'm here to tell you that we can actually take the city back and change it. So we just need to get organized, we need to get unified, and we need to get moving. That all said, I also talked earlier in this year about parliamentary procedures in the Senate. Do you remember that when we were talking about the Judge Gorsuch getting confirmed and doing the nuclear option so that it's just a simple majority in putting into place these judges? So now the bar's been lowered for judges, and you know, I kind of ranted about that. Well, now Trump's talking about doing this again. The thing that really concerns me is because we're in a democratic form in the states violating the Constitution, then there's a good chance that the Republicans may not hold the Congress forever. This is not a permanent thing, folks. And if you think it's bad now because the Republicans that are in Congress are moderates, they're more like Democrats of the 60s than they are the Republicans that we would expect them to be today. And bottom line, what we are seeing is that if we swing back to a Democratic form, when we get Democrats back in control of Congress, we will be sorry. And so these parliamentary procedures are very important, and we need to get back to those. Or we need to get the states back into Republican form government. And I'm hoping to speak to someone within Congress, whether it be a senator or a House of Representatives representative, a congressperson, either way, in teaching them that they have the power to actually get this republic back into a Republican form at the state level. They have that power, and I can get into that. And I've talked about this a lot, so I don't want to get into that now because I don't have time, but go back to my podcast because I did cover it. We will be back next week with Dr. Vile. We will reclaim the Republic with your help. Thank you very much and have a great day.